In view of our upcoming national holiday on November 27th, let me say gracias, merci, danke. Spanish, French, German, whatever language. But know this, there is a world of difference between being able to say thank you and actually having a joyful, thankful heart. So, exactly where does gratitude rank on your list of Christian virtues? Johnny Erickson Tada writes, in an arsenal that's supposed to include things like mountain-moving faith, radical obedience, patient long-suffering, and second-mile self-denial, for many, gratitude feels like a mere optional add-on. But the issue of gratitude is far more significant. Try sustaining a persevering faith without gratitude, and your faith will eventually forget the whole point of faithfulness. Try demonstrating Christian love without gratitude, and over time, your love will crash hard on the rocks of disappointment and disillusionment. Try sacrificially giving of yourself without gratitude, and you'll find every ounce of your joy drained by a martyr's complex. British pastor John Henry Jowett says, every virtue divorced of thankfulness is maimed and limps along the spiritual road. True gratitude is not some incidental ingredient, as if it never intersects with real life. No, gratitude has a big job to play in us and in our hearts. It's one of the chief ways that God infuses joy and resilience in the daily struggle. John Piper calls it spiritual cardio. And may I add this, that there's probably nothing that makes a person more unattractive than the absence of a grateful spirit. Well, all this Paul will speak into this morning in our text. Before we read, let's pray. Father, we are not always a good people, but we are your people, and we come into your presence this morning in the name of Jesus, thanking you for the gift of the scriptures that holy men wrote as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. We pray, O Spirit of God, that you would come down and fill this place and shine a light upon your word and upon us, that we might read and mark and inwardly digest and be changed. Bring your word home to us this morning, for Jesus' sake. Amen. We'll be reading from Paul's letter to the Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. If you would please stand as we read this word, just a short paragraph, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, beginning with verse 16. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Amen. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Amen. You may be seated. God's will for you. Quite often it's like we scratch our heads over the will of God in this or that circumstance. Daily decisions that we have to make about our family or finance, about relationships and careers and callings, the discerning of purposes that in circumstances that come our way. There are plenty of things you and I know that we do not know his will. It has not been made clear. We don't have a read on it. Yes, there are secret things that belong only to the Lord. God moves in mysterious ways, his wonders to perform. He plants his footsteps in the sea and rides upon the storm, writes the 18th century hymn writer William Cowper. Deep in unfathomable mines of never-failing skill, he treasures up bright designs and works his sovereign will. Blind unbelief is sure to err and scan his work in vain. God is his own interpreter, and he will make it plain. And this one thing he has made very plain. Give thanks. Give thanks in every circumstance. Why? Why is gratitude God's will for you? What should we understand about gratitude according to the Apostle Paul here? I think at least these three things, that giving thanks is about posture and power and presence. So let's think first about posture. Giving thanks is about posture. Now, what do I mean? Well, consider here to whom Paul writes. You read just above our text in verse 12. Brothers, we ask you, brothers. These are Christians who've experienced the gospel. In chapter 1, verses 3 through 10, Paul describes them this way. Loved and chosen by God. In other words, they once were lost, now found. He describes them as having a new faith, love, and hope. In other words, a different future. Their self-help being exhausted. Paul says the gospel came to them, not only in word, but in the power of the Holy Spirit. Once joyless, now joyful, even in affliction. And from hell-bound slavery to false idols, to being rescued as holy saints to serve the living and true God. You, he says, you in Christ, brothers and sisters in the family, belonging to the household of God, no longer on the outside looking in, not by your own merit, but only by the inexplicable, outrageous love of God. Paul says, remember. Remember how he drew you. Remember your testimonies of grace and transformation. Exactly. Me too. Last Thursday night, the New England Patriots of the NFL stormed the field against the New York Jets. There was something about their new uniforms called the Nor'easter. Stars and a new logo in nautical lettering and compass points on a stormy gray-blue jersey signifying this rugged, weathered look. And secret red stitching on the inside of the jersey that read, "We are Patriots." Now, all this was designed to reflect the unforgiving power of a nor'easter gale and the perseverance of those who face them head on. It's who we are. We are Patriots. So what's the secret stitching inside your heart? Is gratitude stitched in there? Ingratitude is the mark of the natural man, as Paul makes clear in Romans 1. The unbeliever, the unconverted, he says, do not honor God nor give thanks. It's true of the Roman culture then, and of Thessalonica, a capital city of a Roman province. Lavish providence, good gifts. God gives life and breath to everything. From him and through him and to him are all things, and yet thankless, entitled. Roman culture was not unlike our own. Paul knew its godless influence. He knows how the habits of the natural heart have a way of drawing us away, leading us away into ingratitude. He knows, Paul knows, our need to be reminded of the expected spiritual instincts of a believer, of the new man. Not merely just one day a year called Thanksgiving, but one day a week to come and reflect upon and celebrate something far greater, to experience gratitude, so that we might storm the field of life with hearts full, voices of thankfulness, no small reflection of who we are and whose we are and what God has done, what is our only appropriate posture but gratitude. Second, as we think about Paul's command here, giving thanks in every and all circumstances, we think about power. Giving thanks is about power in and through all circumstances, in every context. You know, it's one thing, right, to give thanks in good circumstances, family, healthy babies and loyal friends, comfortable homes and a stable job, maybe a season of financial stability. You know, Paul, chapter 3, verse 6, he notes how Timothy has brought to him good things, wonderful report. Paul, as it were, goes vertical. One preacher says, Paul's in a good mood. He's feeling good. He goes vertical, and he gives thanks. Thankfulness is on his heart, but for some, things don't seem so good. What about when things are hard? The empty chair at the Thanksgiving table. Chronic health issues, unconverted family members, lost jobs, lost dreams. There's evil and brokenness in this world, temptations. It's sometimes overwhelming how life can become so complicated, and we have to live in that tension. Choose gratitude. Give thanks? How? Lord, I, for one, need help in this. Giving thanks, you see, pushes the narrative. Take, for example, Joseph's story in the book of Genesis. His long journey of rejection and betrayal and loss. And then comes his tearful confession. What men meant for evil, God meant for good. God overruling and orchestrating all things. Joseph's story is a biographical sketch of Romans 8:28, that all things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purposes. All things. Gratitude pushes out unbelief. As with different eyes, discerns the unseen hand, the omnipotent, sovereign, good, wise God, and says, yes, those things too are for my good, and I shall bow in thanks. The power of gratitude in all things. The list is long. Giving thanks slays our pride and any sense of entitlement. You see, if we know that we are sinners, then everything we have is an undeserved gift. What do you have that you did not receive? Paul asked the Corinthians. If then you received it, why do you boast as if it were not a gift? The answer? Nothing. Thankfulness, by its very nature, pushes out the boastfulness of the human heart. Gratitude tames the tongue and heals bitterness in relationships, according to Ephesians 5 and James chapter 4. Hearts full of thankfulness leave little room for the fires to burn. Gratitude is the antidote of peace amidst our anxieties, Philippians chapter 4. Gratitude deals with our covetousness in all its forms. You know, that desire for something that you want but you don't have, or you can't have, or something that God has not provided for you at the moment or has forbidden from you. Just ask Joseph. Behold, Joseph says, because of me, my master has no concern about anything in his house, but has put everything he has in my charge. No one is greater in his house, nor has he kept back anything from me except you, his wife. How then could I do this great wickedness and sin against God? You see, the truth is that the more thankfulness is present in us, the less vulnerable we are to sin, to doubt, to self-pity, to give up, and to give in. Just ask King Jehoshaphat. No one had ever seen a more unusual band of soldiers. No gleaming army, no war cry in the air. Only soldiers dressed in colorful robes, armed with nothing but a song. Give thanks to the Lord, for his steadfast love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord, for his steadfast lasts forever. As the vanguard of Joseph's army sang, it was as if their enemies became disoriented, thinking Judah's warriors had lost their minds. Well, if I were there, I agree. You know, sometimes Thanksgiving feels just like that, like I've lost my mind. But the soldier's song of thanks proved more powerful than any sword. You need to go back and read the entire story in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. The point one writer makes about that story is that under God, thanksgiving can become not only the raised cup after the battle, but the drawn sword beforehand. We count our blessings to kill our sins. We count our blessings to kill our sins. That's why the Bible talks so much about thanksgiving, about giving thanks. That's what living in the will of God looks like. Gratitude of posture and of power in every circumstance and so much more. But how? We ask ourselves. I ask myself. It's That's not in me. That's not me so often. I cannot tell you how I've agonized over the years, especially these past 2 weeks, thinking about preaching this message on gratitude. I mean, if anyone knows me very well, just ask my wife, Betsy. I am Eeyore of Winnie the Pooh. I get stuck. I can't ramp it up. Just the other night, I went to sleep, tossing and turning, confessing to the Lord the absence all day of any sense of gratitude. I had not lived in a sense of well-being and contentment and thankfulness. Preach on gratitude? Me? I look to the hills. From where does my help come from? The psalmist says. Here's help. My help comes from the Lord, he finishes. So does the Apostle Paul here in verse 18. You see, third, giving thanks is about presence. Paul says, giving thanks in all circumstances, this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus. See, Paul is not calling us here to engage in some kind of moralism. His command is only according to gospel grammar, says Dr. Derek Thomas. Gospel fundamentals. In Christ, and similar expressions in the scriptures. In Jesus, in him, with him, in the Son, in me, repeated hundreds of times in the scriptures. This is good news for me and for you. The hope that we have that at every place we fail, he did not. And everywhere I cannot, Jesus did. You just read a cursory reading of the four Gospels, and you discover that over and over, in times of demand and desperation, like the feeding of the 5,000, Jesus gave thanks. In pain and suffering at Lazarus' tomb, Jesus gave thanks. In the joy of the 72 returning from their missionary endeavors, Jesus gave thanks. At the institution of the Lord's Supper, Jesus gave thanks. And then stepping into betrayal at the Mount of Olives, Jesus even sang Psalm 118, the song of thanksgiving. His whole life, you see, was a perfect sacrifice of thanksgiving and praise, of posture and power in every circumstance, all things. He was the life I was to live. His was the gratitude I was to give. At every place I fail, he wins. Everywhere, every time I would not and could not, he did and continues. This is the secret stitching in the heart. Not only you in Christ, but also the promise of Christ in you. Real spiritual union is gospel grammar. I in you, with you, to you, by you, through you, for you. The presence of the work of Christ is yours, moment by moment, by grace, through faith, by the Holy Spirit. Practicing his presence, it's leaning into Jesus. It's looking to Jesus. It's listening to Jesus. You pray to Jesus. You preach the gospel of Jesus to your own soul in every circumstance, at all times. We repent and we rest again in him, and we let him live his life in you and through you every day, and give thanks. Eeyore, and all who would identify, this is how we rediscover the posture and the power and the presence of gratitude to the glory of God. And as you do, the apostle has great confidence. Let your eyes go to the end of the chapter, verses 23 and 24. He has great confidence, he says, that what Christ began in you, he will complete. He who calls you is faithful, and he will surely do it. So happy Thanksgiving. This is God's will for you. May this be the beat of our heart and the air we breathe and the flavor of every experience. And when it's over, may our last word in this life, even if we can only nod or blink or sign, may that last word be grateful. Amen. Let's pray. That is our prayer. Lord Jesus, that you would remind us of who we are, whose we are, what you have done for us. We see your fingerprints in everything. It's the red stitching inside our heart. The finished work of Christ that overflows in thanksgiving. Yes, Lord, may that be the last word. Grateful. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.